Now, hear The Silent Men on NBC. The Silent Men, starring Douglas Fairbanks, Jr. The National Broadcasting Company proudly presents The Silent Men, transcribed stories of the undercover operations of the special agents of every branch of our federal government and their relentless fight against crime. And now here is Douglas Fairbanks.
A nation is like a family in which each member carries his share of the work burden and pays his share of the cost. But in this society of men, there are those whose work is hidden and questionable. Men who refuse to pay their way, who profit without accounting. However, these criminals cannot long escape the attention of the silent men, the special agents of the federal government who protect the well-being of many against the crimes of the few. Tonight, with your permission, I will play the role of one of those silent men, Special Agent Henry Renard, in the file case entitled Death and Taxes. My home base was the Chicago office, but the game I was getting into was going to be played on another field. I got a call to report to Bureau Division Headquarters in Washington, D.C. That meant a special assignment.
How was the flight from Chicago, Hank?
Oh, sleepy.
You want to go to a hotel and rest before we go into this? Maybe a long one.
No, I'm ready now. The sooner I start, the sooner I finish.
Good. Better come into my private office. And no calls until I'm finished with Mr. Renard. Take the chair beside the desk, Hank.
All right.
Now I want you to look these over carefully. Income tax returns, 1947 through 1950 for Otto Duschek.
Duschek? The racketeer?
Oh, no. Duschek, the businessman.
Who says?
He does.
Huh. He's been mixed up in everything from punchboards to manslaughter. Every branch of the government has been on his tail.
Yeah, but none of us have been able to prove anything.
Think we can get him on evasion?
I hope so. He's a smart cookie, though. Remember that.
I will. Come to think of it, I haven't heard much about Duschek in the last few years.
Well, he quit all the more obvious rackets. He's got a new line.
What's that?
Well, that's the $64 question.
Declared an income of $58,400 for 1950. Almost the same for other years, too. Deductions look normal. Source of income seems okay. Suppose he really has gone legitimate?
He reports $50,000. He lives like he was earning a million.
Check his bank accounts?
Normal.
Safety deposit boxes?
Haven't been able to find any.
Could be in somebody else's name.
Yeah, girl, possibly.
Yeah.
But what he's got doesn't prove anything for us. We're interested in money he may be getting and forgetting to declare.
In other words, it's up to me to find out if Duschek is withholding his withholding.
That's good, boy.
Living in Philadelphia, huh? Want me to go there?
Near there. Not liable to run into anybody you know, are you?
No, no. What about cover credentials?
I've got them here in the file. You'll have a lot to memorize.
Let's see. Well, I see I have a criminal record.
Do you, thank you, armed robbery. And you're theoretically wanted for parole violation.
Duschek's no dope. You'd probably have old classmates in San Q, and if I get close to him, he may check.
He will check. A record on you has been planted in the file out there.
Good. Now, how do we plant me on Duschek?
By planting something else. You still raising roses for a hobby?
Sure, why?
That gives you something in common with Duschek. He has the same hobby.
Oh. Oh, now I see why I was brought into this. Huh. Well, what's the pitch?
Florist shop.
In Philadelphia?
No, in Camden, New Jersey. Duschek will come to you.
How does he find me? Radar?
He drives to Camden every day to go to the racetrack. Always stops in the same place to eat. The florist shop you're going to take over is right next door to his favorite restaurant.
And we suck him in with a rose, eh?
You tell us what to stock for you, Hank. We'll get any kind of bush you want from any place in the world.
I'll give you a list. I think we need one more touch, though. I'd like to open a little sideline.
Oh, like what?
Bookmaking. If Duschek becomes interested in me, it won't hurt if he finds I'm making a dishonest buck on the side.
Yeah, good idea. But remember, If the florist owner of the book shows a profit.
I'll declare it on my returns.
If you don't, I'll send you to Alcatraz.
The bait was set, and the local police were quietly notified of the fake bookmaking setup. Arrangements were made for some of our men to phone Betsy in every day, and each day the display of roses in the window was changed. On the third week, I got the customer I'd been waiting for.
You and your roses.
What'd I tell you a minute ago? I told you to keep your mouth shut, didn't I?
Something I can do for you, sir?
Yeah. What are them things in the window there?
Oh, the sweet peas.
No, not them crummy things. The roses. Them.
Oh, those are Irish fire flames.
I never saw them before.
Well, they're a single hybrid tea rose.
Tea rose, coffee rose. Can't you stop here on the way back? We'll miss the Daily Double.
You don't shut up a Daily Double, you'll miss will be two of your teeth. You want to shoot your mouth off, get outside and wait in the car with Mike.
I ain't going.
Get out in the car.
All right, Otto, all right.
And while you're sitting there, give your jaws a rest. Dumb broad. Can't think of nothing but horses. I send her flowers, all she wants to know is how much they cost.
Would you like to look at the fire flames?
Oh, yeah.
If you're interested in fragrance, the hybrid teas are always excellent.
Yeah, I know they are. That's why I like them much better than them polyanthas. Polyanthas ain't got much smell, you know.
Well, I see you know something about roses.
Yeah, I raise them.
Excuse me a minute.
Yeah, sure.
Very nice flower shop. Huh? Could you call back a little later? All right, I'll take it. 2 across. Okay. Now, I don't have to repeat it. I told you I've got it. Right. I'm sorry, Mr.
Dushek. Otto Dushek.
Yes, Dushek.
How long you been in this place?
I bought it about 5 weeks ago.
I thought you was new. You're a pretty smart guy.
I beg your pardon?
You beg my pardon. Come on, how's the action? What's your take, huh?
I don't know what you're talking about. You want to see these flowers, or don't you?
What a front. Most of the boys use candy stores or they hole up in some cellar with a telephone. You give a business a little class. You talk good English, too.
Look, I don't know what's on your mind.
Oh, yes, you do. You're booking horses here. I know a phone back when I hear one.
Is this a pinch?
I look like a cop.
No, you don't look like a cop. You look like a mug who might think he's going to shake me down for protection.
This is peanuts to me. I play a game that really pays off.
Then why don't you go play it and stay out of mine?
Because I think maybe we can do business together.
What kind of business?
Well, for now, roses. Until we get to know each other.
Came back every day after that. But for the next month, he acted like a customer. I had to get closer to him, and the roses were the key. I sold him a bush that was showing the first traces of black rust. When he transplanted it, I knew the disease would spread to the rest of his roses. It did. 10 days after he bought the contaminated bush, I was called to his penthouse, a luxurious place, overlooking the city of brotherly love.
Look at him. They're dying. Some kind of bug's got on him or something.
Yeah, that's not insect damage.
Well, what is it then?
Phragmidium mucronatum.
Now, never mind the big words. Tell me so I know, huh?
Black rust.
Well, what am I going to do about it? Let him die?
I can fix him. I can come back tomorrow.
Tonight.
I've got to get a lot
Mike can get whatever you need. You fix him tonight. Hey, Mike! Hey, Mike!
Mike ain't here, Otto.
Oh, where is he?
Well?
Where is he?
You're losing your mind or something. You know where you sent him.
Oh, yeah. All right, then. Get your coat on. You're going out. Tell her what to get, huh?
Yeah, I'll write it down for you. Sulfur and fernet. Mixed in this quantity here. And a hand sprayer.
He should worry about me like he worries about these things.
Shut up and go.
All right, Dushek, if you want to save your flowers, let's get busy.
Hey, what are you pulling them leaves off for?
All the diseased leaves have to come off before we spray. It's going to take a couple of hours, so come on.
Oh. You know something, Renan?
No. What?
You're all right. Yeah. You're an all right guy. It's almost 2 a.m.
Yeah, this is the last push.
Yeah. You want a drink?
Yeah. Might help wash the sulfur fumes out of our throat.
Yeah.
Well, that does it.
Okay, let's go in. Hey, Betty, come on, wake up, will you?
Huh?
Mix us a couple of drinks, come on.
All right. Let me get my shoes on. Mike's back.
Oh, where is he?
In the library. Big brain like you, gotta have a library.
Bring a drink, son. Bring one for Mike, too.
Hi.
Oh, you know Renard, Mike.
Only by seeing him through a flower shop window. Hi.
Betty's mixing some drinks. When'd you get back?
An hour ago.
How'd it go? Renard's all right.
It was smooth.
No trouble, eh?
Not a rumble.
Good, that's the way I like it.
Here's the stuff. And mix your own drink. I ain't no bartender.
You ain't nothing. Put it down and get out of here. Yeah. Scotch okay for you?
Fine for me.
Good. Fix your own, Mike.
Thanks.
You know, Renard, I could use a guy like you around here.
I don't like working for other people.
You like working for me?
No, thanks.
Look, don't brush me off, punk. I mean, you ain't never gonna get no place with a flower shop and a $2 book. You want to raise roses, raise them here, huh?
For how much?
More money than you ever saw before.
How much?
You could cut almost 100 G's a year.
Do I look like a sucker?
What do you mean by that?
You setting me up to take some kind of rep for you? Why pick me? You don't know me. You don't know anything about me.
Tell him, Mike.
You did 2 years in Q for armed robbery.
And you're still on parole. You're hot for leaving the state of California without permission.
You're smarter than I thought, Duchesne.
And you're dumber than I thought.
What?
Now, don't get hot. You got a lot to learn. You get picked up on a crummy bookmaking rap, and you'll wind up back in Q to do the rest of your bit with a few years tagged on for the parole chump.
So, suppose I get caught working for you. Is that going to be any better?
Much better. We don't leave witnesses like you did on your stick-up. My boys don't go to jail.
All right. I'm listening.
How far are you willing to go?
For $100,000 a year? You write the ticket.
The tickets we sell are one way. All the way. We're in the safest business of all. The murder business.
You call that safe?
In 4 years, I never even had a man picked up on suspicion. Police can't set up a murder rap without a motive.
Well, you must get paid for the job.
Sure, 50%.
50% of what?
Insurance money. And it's usually double
indemnity.
Yeah. Because they all look like accidents.
Are you kidding? Insurance companies would check on you the second time you filed a fat debt claim.
We don't file the claims. We don't insure nobody. Draw him a blueprint, Mike.
Well, lots of guys get married. Then they get sorry about it. Sometimes businessmen don't like their partners. Sometimes a guy insures his mother-in-law.
And sometimes they get impatient for people to die, so we help them. For 50% of the insurance money, our minimum is 10 G's each job.
I see. Go ahead.
It's kind of late. You must be tired. Why don't you stay here tonight? I'll fill you in on the business later on.
When?
After you finish your first assignment.
I slept, but I didn't sleep well. In the morning, Dushek had Mike drive me out to the flower shop in Camden. I told him I had to sell the place, make it look legitimate. As soon as I could shake him, I made a call to the chief of my division. He flew in from Washington, and we met in a lounge of a small theater. I briefed him on the Dushek operation.
Wheatley, get inside. A murder ring, huh?
As cold-blooded as they come.
Dushek is headed for worse than Alcatraz, then. This isn't a case for us, Hank. You'd better pull out right now.
I can't. I'm in there close to him. It's the only way to get him.
Yeah, what's your plan?
Well, you'll have to help me. Plenty. Take a check on his number one boy, Mike.
Oh, we know all about him. Mike Donnelly, strong-arm boy.
Find out where he was last night.
Well, that's impossible to trace now.
I think he left and returned by plane.
Yeah, what makes you think so?
They wouldn't do their killing around home base in Philadelphia. Mike drove Dushek to the track yesterday and came back with him. But between 6 o'clock last night and 1 this morning, he killed somebody.
Then if he went any distance, it must have been by air.
Chances are it wasn't any more than an hour's flight, but he got in at 1 a.m. That means he came in on a flight that landed about midnight.
Well, we can check airline reservations.
Police must have photos of him from his arrest. Get a shot. Run down all airline stewardesses who worked on flights coming into Philadelphia around midnight last night. If one of them remembers Mike, we'll know where he was.
Yeah, I get it, Hank. When we find the city, we ask for a list of last night's fatal accidents.
The victim will be somebody insured for at least $25,000. And the beneficiary will be able to supply an airtight alibi.
Sure. They'd work it that way. Hey.
You beginning to get the idea?
Like a flash from the lighthouse. The money.
That's it.
The beneficiary will get a check from the insurance company.
But Dushek won't accept his payment in any form except cash.
Yeah, the beneficiary will have to cash the check, either at bank of his own or the bank used by the paying insurance company.
That's right. If the banks work with us, the money can be marked. It'll have to be passed some way, but if we can prove it winds up in Dushek's hands, we've got him.
Well, if I can run everything down, I'll arrange for the marking, all right?
Good. I'd better get back to Dushek, so I'll leave first. You'd better stay here for about 10 minutes.
Now, be careful, Hank. I'm going to alert all police forces on this, as well as other federal divisions. Don't slip up any place, or they'll kill you.
That isn't what I'm worried about. I'm worrying about the night Dushek sends me out to kill somebody else. I went back to Dushek, and for 5 days I took care of the roses. Then, one day, Betty left for the track with him, but she didn't come back with him. She turned up late that night, carrying an unusually large purse. Dushek and Mike went into the library with her, and Mike came out stuffing a roll of bills into his pocket.
What's the matter, Renard? The roses getting you down?
I don't seem to be making any money.
You will. Maybe tonight. Otto wants to see you when he comes out.
I thought this was a big operation.
It is.
Look. You were away on one trip last week.
Get wise, boy. This is only headquarters. Otto's got men all over the country. Branch officers. He likes you. You stick close and you'll get a cut on all of them. The big cuts you get from what you do yourself, though.
I'm ready.
Good. Because I think Otto's ready, too. If you don't do something to Kraft.
I got a little assignment for you tonight, Hank.
Yeah, so Mike was telling me. Where am I going?
Wheeling, West Virginia.
Oh.
You catch a train in about an hour. You get in there at 6 a.m.
Then what?
Yeah. Tear this paper up after you memorize the phone number.
Okay.
Call that number, then you go to the street corner it says there. Stand on the corner, lean against the bus sign, and read a newspaper. At 7:30, somebody will stop a car right in front of you and get out and walk away. You take the car.
Will it be a stolen car?
Of course it'll be a stolen car. It'll belong to somebody working early shift at the mines. By the time it's missed, you'll be back here. Get the dame's picture, Mike.
It's in the table drawer right beside you.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's your pigeon.
How do I meet her?
I run her husband on a restaurant. She leaves the house every morning at 8. She got the address there. Her car will be out of commission. It'll be right on the street in front of the house. You offer her a lift.
Suppose she says no.
Use a gun to coax her.
If I'm going to shoot her, I might as well do it right there.
Shooting don't look like no accident. When you get in a car, knock her out, and then find a nice spot between the house and town. Dump her out and run her over. Get away fast and ditch your car. You understand?
Yeah. I understand. How do I get back here?
There's a plane out of Wheeling at 10:30. There's a reservation on it for a Mr. Wilson. That's you. You'll be back here for lunch. And no petty cash. Don't touch nothing in the dame's purse. It's got to look like an accident.
I'll handle it.
Okay, sure. Now, read it back to me, the whole thing.
I went over the plan for him and I left. But Mike drove me to the station. He pretended to leave me at the train, but I saw him swing on 3 cars behind. I was being tagged. Was Dushek having me followed as a precaution, or had I made a mistake? I felt sick.
Is this seat taken?
No.
Mind if I sit down, then?
Not at all.
I have a couple of magazines.
you care to read one?
No, thank you.
I'm Miss Spelling, departmental secretary.
Hubbard?
Don't talk, let me. The man who dropped you at the station followed you. He's on the train.
I know, but who sent you?
The divisional chief. He's had men watching you, but he didn't want a man to make the contact. You have any message?
Yes, but it'll be too much to remember.
That's another reason for me. I'll take it in shorthand on the margin of this magazine. Just let me know if anybody comes through the aisles. Watch the back platform.
How are you going to relay the information?
I'll get off when the train stops at Allentown. Two special agents will be waiting there.
Good. You ready?
Go ahead.
I gave her the story as quickly as I could. Then I watched through the window as she got off at Allentown. She was not followed. I still had time to play my hand out with Mike, though. I got off the train at Wheeling, picked up the stolen car, and drove to the designated house. I circled the block until a woman came out and made a vain attempt to start the car at the curb. She got out and raised the motor hood as I turned the corner. I stopped. May I give you a lift?
I guess my battery's dead. Which way are you going?
You name it.
Downtown?
Climb in.
Thanks.
I don't want you to be frightened, but for your own information, you just did a very foolish thing.
Don't worry about it. I'm not the woman you were supposed to pick up. I'm a policewoman.
What?
Your message was relayed from Allentown. We've got Mrs. Belka in protective custody. She was the intended victim. I'm the same size and color as she is, so they sent me to take her place.
Well, thank heaven for that. Did you have any instructions for me?
You're probably still being followed.
Not probably. I am. There's a car about a block and a half behind us, matching our speed.
You have to lose him.
I know.
Well, I know the town. I'll tell you when and where to turn. When you get clear, drop me off and go back to Philadelphia as though you carried out Dushek's assignment.
What's the idea of that?
Well, Mr. Belkin is away on a vacation. He's probably arranged it. We'll need time to pick him up. You see, he'll be told his wife is dead, then he'll be accused of conspiracy and a murder. If it's properly handled, we may get a confession from him. Meanwhile, your other federal boys want Dushek to think his business is as usual.
My chief will...
Turn right here, quick. Now take the cutoff into the hills up ahead.
Other car's still coming.
We'll lose him by the old mine road. What were you going to say before?
I was going to ask you if my chief told you to pass on any information about a man named Mike Donnelly. That's probably Donnelly back in the car that's tailing us.
Yeah, I got a complete line on where he went last week. It was Baltimore. Man killed in a hit-and-run accident by a stolen car.
Heavily insured?
By his business partner. $50,000, double indemnity.
I thought so. Now we've got to lose that car behind us.
The roads are starting to wind now. Take the turnoffs as I call them to you. Left here. Now, short right. Quick!
We lost him in the maze of mine roads and cut back toward the town. I dropped the policewoman off and ditched the car, then went to the airport and picked up the reservation Dushek had arranged. When I got back to the penthouse in Philadelphia, nobody was there. I waited an hour, 2 hours. Then Dushek came home.
Hello, Renard.
Hello.
Your job all done?
Yeah.
That's nice to know.
When do I get paid?
Everything went okay in about a week. If it didn't go okay, maybe sooner.
What do you mean?
I just picked Mike up at the airport. He was out of town, too. His plane got in a little later than yours.
What are you driving at?
You'll see. Come on in here, Mike. Renard says everything went okay in Wheeling, Mike.
Yeah? That's nice.
That was a simple job.
I'll talk. You'll listen. I sent Mike to follow you to make sure you didn't make no mistakes.
You got wise to that, Renard. You knew I was behind you and you shook me.
Why'd you do that, Renard? What was it you didn't want Mike to see?
You followed me?
You know I did.
I know now. I didn't know in Wheeling. All I knew is that I had a car tagging me. Were you crazy?
What do you mean?
How did I know it was him? It might have been a police car. Sure, I lost him as soon as I was tagged. You think I want to be caught with that woman in the car?
You didn't know it was me?
How could I know? And you recognize the driver of a car a block and a half behind you through a rear vision mirror? I ought to knock your teeth out, Mike.
Lord. All right, stop it, both of you.
How could you let him do a thing like that, Dushek? You say you play everything safe. It makes me think I'm being followed and I have to speed through a town in a stolen car. Is that safe?
All right, all right. We ought to make sure. You take care of the woman?
I did my job. When I work for somebody, I do what I'm told.
You mind if I check on it?
What do you mean?
Long distance? I want to put a call through to Wheeling, West Virginia. No special party. I just want to talk to the county morgue.
I could feel myself tightening up as Dushek was connected with the morgue and started to give a description of Mrs. Belka. It was a checkup I'd never thought of. My only hope was that the police would have it covered.
Yeah? Yeah. No, I won't have to. Thank you. Thank you very much.
What'd they say?
Guess, Mike.
I don't want to play games.
I told you Renard was all right. Tagging him was your idea and a dumb one, like he said. He could have been picked up for speeding in that stolen heap. We'd all be in for it.
All right. So now we know.
They found the body?
Yeah. He were a little careless, though.
How?
She was still alive when they found her.
She talked?
No. Unconscious all the way. She was dead on arrival when I got her to the hospital. She was just... Yeah, it must be Betty. Dumb broad, always forgetting her key. Let her in, Mike.
Okay.
When do I get to draw a little money?
You want a couple of grand now?
I'd like it.
And I got it. I always...
Hey, got a wine, chum.
Hold it. Holy fella. Shove that dough in your pocket.
Hello, Arno.
Well, my favorite detective, Mr. Walsh. What brings you here?
I'm going to arrest you, Dushek.
Yeah? And what for?
Murder. A couple of them, in fact. One in Baltimore last week and one that didn't quite come off in Wheeling today.
What are you talking about?
You'll be extradited, Dushek. Belka's wife is alive, but Belka confessed about the deal you made.
Renard.
Don't be so surprised, Dushek. Your mouth drops open and you look very stupid. I'm a special agent of the United States government.
So, Mrs. Belka isn't dead then, huh? So where's your murder charge, Walsh?
You're forgetting Baltimore. Man wanted to get rid of his partner. Remember?
I want to call my lawyer. I got constitutional rights.
That's the wonderful part about this country, Dushek. Everybody has. Even you. This is Douglas Fairbanks again. Otto Dushek learned the certainty of death and taxes when his murder ring was smashed. Thanks to the efforts of the Silent Men, the special agents of all branches of our federal government who daily risk their lives to protect the lives of all of us. Next week, we will tell you the story of international banditry in the South China Sea in the file case entitled Piracy, 20th Century Brand, another venture undertaken for our protection by the Silent Men.
The Silent Men is produced and directed by Warren Lewis. Tonight's case was written by Joe Murcott and transcribed in Hollywood. Only the names and places were fictional. Douglas Fairbanks may currently be seen in the motion picture Mr. Drake's Duck.
Now, here again is Mr. Fairbanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the last 2 years, 2 million out of the 10 million civilian refugees in Korea have died of exposure or action of war. Please send any usable spare clothing and or blankets to American Relief for Korea, ARK, to Mass Beth, Long Island, New York, or to St. Louis, Missouri, or Oakland, California. Please, and thank you.
Listen again next week and every week to other exciting cases involving the law enforcement adventures of the special agents of our federal government. For they are the Silent Men.
Now, it's Tin Pan Valley on NBC.